Stay tuned for Bubba Neart Live, but first, welcome to the Denver Bible Church Update, where we bring you an excerpt from this week's Sunday sermon on the Gospel of Luke. So join us now for our Denver Bible Church sermon in progress.
So you need a plan, and Jesus had a plan to start with his chosen people, Israel, the nation that was to become his spokesnation to the world. So this Gentile, no matter how pressing his need, would be a distraction from Christ's primary mission of reaching the chosen people. And how pressing of a need is it when someone you know is ill? Well, to you and to that person, it seems very pressing. But in the big picture of the world, there are always people who are ill. There are always people who are dying. So the Gentile was very concerned, but so was Jesus about his mission. So the request here came in a way that was somewhat sanitized, if you can think of it that way. Because the Gentile didn't bring his own request, but he sent Jews, elders of the Jews, on his behalf. And even still, we notice, if we read carefully, that the Lord resisted the request. Verse 4, "And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving." Now, if Jesus had heard about the need, "Well, Rabbi, we have a friend who's a centurion, and his servant is ill. Would you come and heal him?" "Sure, let's go." Well, if that would have happened, it would have been very quick, and there would have been no need to beg Jesus. They wouldn't have had to plead with him or beg him earnestly. You only beg, for those of you who have, say, teenage grandkids, you might know what this means. They only beg when you've said no. No, and then they start begging. But when they begged earnestly, that indicates to us that Jesus was hesitant. And here they were, elders of the Jews, begging him. And it's interesting that they said that he was deserving. Isn't that interesting? And that's very different than the mindset today in the gospel of grace. Under the gospel of grace, we constantly point out that no one is deserving. And God's mercy and grace is undeserved. In fact, we go to great lengths to point out that grace is undeserved favor. But they said that this Gentile was deserving. Why would they think that anyone would be deserving of a miracle from a prophet? Yet when they argued that he was deserving of this help, they didn't focus on the medical condition of the servant. They didn't talk about the spirituality or the faith of the centurion. They didn't talk about his wealth or his authority. Rather, they said he was deserving because he supported Israel, the Jews, and their Jewish religion. Why was this Gentile deserving of help? Look at verse 5. "He was deserving, for he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue."
This is Pastor Bob Enyart of Denver Bible Church inviting you to visit us this Sunday for our lively Sunday school class. We have fun Sunday mornings starting at 9:30. We're in the Gospel of Matthew in Sunday school. And come on out to our worship service at 11 o'clock. And how about our Sunday night Bible study in the evenings at 6 o'clock Sunday night in Colossians, the book of Colossians. We meet right near Hampton and Wadsworth. Give us a call for directions at 463-1707 or check us out on the web at denverbiblechurch.org. Now stay tuned for Bob Enyart Live.
Truth of the head, it gets beyond all the headlines you good service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life.
Yeah, turn up the volume, here's Bob in your life.
Bob in your life. Bob in your life.
Go, Bob.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's most popular, self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Before we get to the news of the day, how about this book review in Discover Magazine? Discover Magazine reviewed a book on the moon and the origin of the moon. Where did the moon come from? You know, the moon is just perfect for the Earth in so many ways. It's just the right distance to keep the oceans alive with life because of the tides. If it was much further away, the tides would stop and the ocean would not be oxygenated and the plankton would die and the sea life would die. And if it was much closer, then we'd have tidal waves covering much of the continents every day, making it impossible for life to live on land. The moon is just the right distance from the Earth. Not only that, of all the moons in the solar system, what are they? They're 58 now and counting. Of all the moons in the solar system, only our moon produces a perfect solar eclipse. Only our moon. How is it that our moon, once in a while, covers up the sun perfectly? Well, it's because the sun is about 400 times larger than the moon, and it also happens to be exactly 400 times further away than the moon. The same ratio is the size difference to the distance, and therefore it covers it perfectly. That's just, how did that happen? Well, of course, the Bible says that God made the earth, and he made the sun and the moon and the stars. And so the Bible tells us that God created so that there was design, there was purpose in the moon being right where it is. Well, here's this Discover Magazine book review in brief of what's the title of this book by Dana McKenzie? The Big Splat, or How the Moon Came to Be. That's the scientific world on how the moon, where did the moon come from? McKenzie, the author, a Discoverer contributor, recounts efforts to solve a mystery that has perplexed astronomers throughout history, the origin of the moon. Yeah, as though the origin of everything else they figured out. He presents debunked hypotheses like the moon is a captured asteroid. No, they say that's not possible. As well as the reigning theory, he presents debunked hypotheses, in other words, views that astronomers no longer hold, as well as the popular theory today, which suggests that a massive collision between Earth and a meteor the size of Mars left us with the moon. Yeah, right. In Discover Magazine. Right. Sure. Okay, so the title of that book, in case you're aching to read it, is The Big Splat, or How the Moon Came to Be. Imagine a science teacher who ends up standing before God on Judgment Day, and he taught years worth of classes that everything happened by accident, by chance, the solar system, life on Earth, the universe, the spiral galaxies, moons orbiting in perfect synchronicity. It's all by chance. And kids learn that it's all by chance, and a lot of them end up with a very fatalistic view on life, and they go on to basically ruin their lives because of the worldview they got from the science teacher. And so God asks the science teacher on Judgment Day, well, didn't you know that only the Earth's moon produces a solar eclipse? of all the moons in the solar system? And he said, oh, yeah, I taught that. Well, didn't you know that for that to be possible, the moon had to be exactly the same proportion larger than the sun as it was closer than the sun? With this perfect ratio of size and distance? Well, I didn't get into that. Didn't you know that the moon had to be just the right distance from the Earth to keep the oceans alive? And that virtually all of life on Earth depends on the living oceans? Didn't you know that? Well, I didn't get into that. And what reason did you have? What evidence did you show that life could evolve from non-life? That complex systems could evolve by chance? What evidence did you have that was worth your eternal soul? Depart from me into the fires prepared for the devil and his angels, for the lives you destroyed, because you were a willing fool. So here's Discover Magazine. You know what? I'd like to call them. They have an ad in their classifieds, a fish, a Christian symbol, a fish that they turned into a Darwin fish. Let's try calling and see. Now, I'm calling not the ad company, not the company that sells the fish bumper stickers, but the Discover Magazine classified advertising department. Let's see. Her name is Robin Goh, like Van Gogh, sort of. Robin Goh.
Hello. You've reached the offices of Family Fun, Disney, and Discover Magazines. We're sorry we can't take your call at the moment.
Oh, Disney.
But if you leave a message with your telephone number, fax number, or address, we'll get straight back to you.
Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Bob Enyart Live. We're on the radio right now, broadcasting in Denver, Colorado, Springfield, Massachusetts, and elsewhere. We had a question about the classified ads in Discover Magazine, and we're hoping you can call us at 303-463-7789. That's 303-463-7789. The ads for the Darwin fish in the classifieds of Discover Magazine, and the ad says delightful parodies, and it shows a Christian symbol, the Christian fish, and it's obviously a parody on the Christian symbol and mocking the teachings of Christianity with Darwin and Evolve. And we were wondering if it's your policy to allow advertising that mocks Christianity specifically, if you would allow advertising that mocks, let's say, the Quran or Islam, or if you would allow advertising that mocks Judaism, or how about even Native American religions? Or is it only Christianity that you guys mock there at Disney and Discover? So if you would, please give us a call. We'd be interested in your editorial policy. Thank you. Listener-supported radio right here at Bob Enyart Live. This is a live commercial break, and our number is 1-800-8-ENYART. That's the number, of course, to call into the show, or if you like Bob Enyart Live and you'd like to help us stay on the air, you can give us a call and consider making a monthly pledge. You know, some people make a pledge, $10, $25, $50 a month even, and with a credit card number, automatically once a month, we could process your pledge. And for those who already do that, thank you so very much for helping us stay on the air. And for others, you might be interested in getting something like a Bible study album each month. And you could sign up for a monthly subscription to a Bible study album. Most of them have six tapes, though they vary in length. And it's $34.95 a month. That includes shipping and handling. $34.95 a month. You start out with a Bible study album called The Plot, the overview of the whole Bible. And you get the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil another month, and the Law of Moses. You get the Last Days. How about the album called Details Galore that is a study listing every single miracle in the Bible and what we could learn from those miracles? And of course, we get into Genesis, creation, the fall, the flood, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, the Exodus story. Did you know that there is evidence for the Exodus story outside of the Bible? Fascinating evidence. And books through the Old Testament, the Gospel of John, which is so much fun to study, and the world's greatest theological treatise ever penned, the Book of Romans. 16 short chapters. The Book of Romans has, Paul did it when he wrote it. Of course, God inspired it, but just the absolute greatest work on theology in just a few short pages compared to the thousands of pages that theologians and religious people write. Paul did it in 16 one-page chapters. Just amazing. And so we here at Bob and Yurt Live, we teach through all these books of the Bible, and we have albums on topics like predestination and free will. It's so much fun. The Book of Proverbs in one six-tape album. So you could either check out a single album or sign up for a monthly subscription and go online to look at a list of the albums if you'd like at kgov.com, where you shop online at kgov.com. Welcome back, Bob and Yart, 1-800-8-N-YART, 1-800-836-9278. So the big splat, or how the moon came to be, and in delightful parodies of the Christian faith. You've got it. And I didn't realize when I dialed, I didn't know that Disney owned Discover. Anybody out there in the studio audience know that? That Disney owned Discover? No. We didn't know that. That's pretty interesting. So we'll find out if we get a call back. We'll let you know. If you want to email them, this classified ad is in their May issue of Discover, May 2003. And you could email them at classmark@aol.com. That's classmark, K-L-A-S-S. classmark@aol.com. All right, and you could ask them what their editorial policy is, their advertising policy, if they mock only Christian symbols, or if any religion is fair game. All right, then here in Colorado, you know, Bob and Yurt Live, our flagship station is the 50,000-watt KLTT 670 AM. We are Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock. And let's see here. And so Denver, our flagship station is in Denver. Soon it'll be our only station. Starting at the beginning of July, we will be airing only in Denver on KLTT and on the internet at KGOV, kgov.com. So for those of you listening in Massachusetts, elsewhere, when we go off the air, June 27th is our last broadcast, then please feel free to find us on the web at kgov.com. All right, in St. Joseph's, Michigan, Elizabeth, speak your mind.
Hi.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi.
What's up?
There are some friends that I have, and I don't exactly know what I should do with them. There's this one across the street. Her name is Julie. She goes to public school. She doesn't think there's anything wrong with homosexuality, and I don't know, should I keep being friends with her?
All right. Now, she goes to public school. You are homeschooled?
Yes.
And you're a Christian?
Yes.
Is she a Christian?
We don't think so.
Okay. You don't think so. Well, you know, the Bible says, it puts very strict and clear rules. For example, when you get married, you're not to be unequally yoked. But then regarding relationships and regarding interacting with the world, Paul says that we're not of the world, but on the other hand, we can't be out of the world, like because we live in the world. And so we do interact with unbelievers, and thankfully we do, because in that way they could get saved. They could become Christian as they interact with us. However, parents, Christian parents, should really go out of their way to protect their kids and to supervise their kids, especially when they're interacting with other kids, and especially unbelievers and unbelievers who think that sexual immorality is perfectly fine. So, Elizabeth, with my kids, if, you know, we know unbelievers in the neighborhood, and if some kids want to play with our kids, let's say our littlest kids or even our older kids, well, then we try to make sure that happens in a supervised environment where there are parents there involved.
Okay.
And we would minimize the interaction with neighborhood kids who blatantly thought that sexual immorality was okay. We would minimize it, but not forbid it altogether. For example, we would allow those kids to come to our house and in a reasonably supervised environment, play in the backyard, play hockey in the cul-de-sac, play hockey in the basement, downstairs, you know, things like that.
Okay.
So was that clear or confusing?
Well, it's clear, but I think it sounds like it's for younger kids. This girl, she's 15 going on 16.
Yeah.
So
we have teenage boys in our home. Cheryl and I have 7 boys. One of them just screamed at the top of his lungs upstairs because the New Jersey Devils just scored a goal against the Mighty Ducks. Okay. So we have 16 and 17? Yeah, 16 and 17. Our older boys are, one's married and one's working with his uncle in New Jersey. The married one is in Georgia. So we have 16 and 17-year-old teenage sons, and the rules are pretty much like that.
Oh, I see.
They're like that. We belong to a Christian subculture that realizes that the world has become so dangerous that Christian kids get into severe trouble on a regular basis. They have sex, get girls pregnant, girls have abortions, they get in accidents, DUIs. I mean, the stories I could tell just in the last 6 months of people I've talked to around the country, even people I know, the heartaches are just without end. The tragedies, the lives that are destroyed. You know, kids grow up in Christian families. They end up going to jail or just terrible things. And so there's a Christian subculture that says the world is too dangerous. Their temptation is there at every turn, and it's intense. And society no longer protects children and young people. Today, society tries to seduce them into drugs and sex. And so, therefore, we chaperone our kids. And we have adult supervision. If they want to go to, you know, they want to, say our kids want to go to a movie theater.
Yeah.
The 16 and 17-year-old. We go with them.
I see.
We go with them.
There's another problem. I take ballet.
Yeah.
And the girls in my ballet class don't appear Christian.
Yeah.
And, well, my dance instructor, I don't think would exactly like if my parents actually came and watched the class every week.
Why not?
Why?
Yeah.
She thinks it's a little distracting. We do have visiting weeks where the parents are allowed to come, but every week.
Mm-hmm. I don't know much about dance classes, although we do have friends who are just fabulous dancers. Just fabulous. And so maybe we could ask them that question, what is the norm? But so anyway, what do your parents think about the dance class?
Well, the dance class is fine.
All right.
But it's the kids.
The kids are messed up.
Yeah.
Are they lesbians?
No.
Well, that's
good. Not yet, thank goodness.
And there's no guys in the ballet class?
No.
If there were, they'd most certainly be homosexuals. Oh. Unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So, but of course, not all male ballet dancers are homosexual.
Yeah, but I'd like to know exactly what should my attitude be toward them?
Toward the kids in the class?
Yes.
Well, the believer's attitude toward unbelievers is we have a love for them. Just like God loved us when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have a love for them, and we want to share with them the gospel. We want to be a good example to them. At the same time, we don't want to make it look like we go along with, let's say, you know, they're going to get drunk or do drugs or be sexually immoral. We don't want to make it look like we approve of what they're doing. And also, the biggest concern, Elizabeth, you've heard the one bad apple spoils the whole bunch. Have you heard that?
I've heard of that.
Yeah. The norm is, here's the norm, when Christian kids hang out with unbelieving kids, the norm is the unbelievers pull the Christian kid down. It's very unusual for a Christian kid in a group of unbelievers to pull them up. It almost never happens. So what's better, generally speaking, and sometimes you can't do this, but generally it's better for Christian people to have a group and for unbelievers to come into the Christian group. But of course, you can't always do that. You might go to college and want to be an architect, and every professor you have might be a pagan.
Okay.
So how are you doing in ballet?
I'm an advanced student now. I'm doing really good.
Well, I'm glad.
We just had our mini recital yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know how hard it is.
It's very hard.
I cannot stand on my toes.
I'm doing that.
You are?
Yes. I just finished my second year.
Could you touch your toes, like as a stretching exercise? Are you able to?
Yeah, we pull on them and we try and push our fingers past them.
Oh, brother. Let me tell you, since I've been young and playing sports and we have to stretch, I cannot touch my toes. Forget that. I can't touch my ankles. There's something wrong with me. I don't stretch. I am this way, this shape, this size, and that's it.
Yeah.
So I would never make it in ballet. Mm-hmm. But Elizabeth, do your parents help you think through these issues? I'm sure they do.
My dad does.
Do you think he has wisdom in matters like this?
Well, I always thought he did.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, sounds like he does. No? I guess I'm a little confused because I don't really know. Do you want to explain further, or do you think we took it far enough?
I think we took it far enough.
All right. Very good, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay. All right. Homeschooled Christian young lady trying to figure out what kind of attitude to have toward unbelievers. It's pretty neat. All right. Now, we've got all these stories in the Denver newspapers, they're just so sickening. I'd rather call Discover and make fun of them than have to look at these stories in the Rocky Mountain News. Today, June 5th, Thursday, stepfather arrested after boy dies of head injuries. Four-year-old boy. Oh, just want to execute that father. Kidnapping a little two-week-old baby is back, thankfully. Bob Enyard here, live commercial break. Hey, you know what? I need to get a message to our show engineer. We need to talk to Porter about that ad running during this segment that they fired down at KLTT. We got to get in sync with that. All right, we'll do that. Glad we saw that note right here. Okay. Hey, I talked earlier about the audio albums. The audio albums, you could subscribe or get one that interests you. For example, Genesis the Flood, it's so much fun. You know, all the evidence all over the world that the flood is real, that it really happened. It's just fascinating. So we have that. It's a 7-tape Bible study album. And by the way, it includes a study on baptism. But if you're going to get that, I really recommend you listening to the Plot album first or reading the Plot manuscript, which is my life's work, a 330-page overview of the whole Bible. The Plot manuscript is $49.95 plus shipping and handling, $49.95. But it comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. And so then you check out Genesis the Flood, which is such a fun Bible study album. But you might be interested in videos. We talked to a friend today who, they live in New Orleans, and they're fans of Bob Enyard Live. They used to watch the TV show. And this young guy told me that his dad recorded just so many shows that he has two full boxes of Bob Enyard Live videos. How many shows you get on one tape? I guess it depends on the speed, right? Either 2, 4, or 6, depending on whether it's you run it 2-hour, 4-hour, 6-hour. And two boxes of tapes and an entire shelf of Bob Enyard Live videos. And he says that sometimes they pop them in there and they laugh and they laugh. And we have fun on the air. These videos that we've got, you could check them out, like callers who call in Amy's call, where this girl thought she was good enough to get to heaven. And I don't want to tell you what she said on the show that proved she wasn't a lady. Terry's call, a homosexual who hated Christians until... NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. So just the stories that made the Rocky Mountain News today locally, you know, a kidnapped 2-week-old baby. I'm so thankful that the baby is safe and sound. The baby's back. But the kidnapper should be killed, should be executed. You know, we had a kidnapping very much like this in the 90s, and the kidnapper wasn't killed. And if the kidnapper had been killed, if kidnappers were swiftly executed, then kids would be safe. Stepfather, here's another story. Today, stepfather arrested after boy dies of head injuries. 4-year-old boy died after being hospitalized with severe head injuries. What a tragedy. What an absolute tragedy. Here's a fatal shooting in Aurora. Police investigating the death of a man who entered a North Aurora resident and was fatally shot. It could be that the shooting was justified because a woman in the residence was asked to come outside and she was assaulted by men outside. Then one of the men entered the home, and a 25-year-old man who was living in the home shot him to death. So who knows what? The police still don't know what was going on in that story. Here, man critical after stabbing. There's a good story in Denver. Apartment building parking lot. Rape investigation to focus on Air Force Academy culture. What a mess. 1-800-836-9278. In Colorado, Luigi, speak your mind. Louise? Yes, Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. The S looked like a G. Go ahead, Louise.
My name's Louise, L-O-U-I-S-E.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. This is my first time listening to your program.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if we could address New Age. I went to this church.
Yeah.
And I kind of told them that I was kind of skeptical of their teaching because it sounded New Age to me. And they kind of tricked me into thinking some things that were true about their teaching. And some of the stuff that they taught us was there is no rapture, that nobody goes to hell but the devil and his angels.
All right.
And they also taught us that everything gets reconciled back to God, that scripture.
Right.
Even the devil and his angels
get reconciled
back to God.
So only the devil goes to hell, but eventually it's universal reconciliation. Eventually the devil's in heaven too. That's what they're saying?
Yeah, they actually taught us that, yeah, the devil and his angels will be reconciled and be able to go back to heaven like they were before.
All right.
And I forgot what else they taught us, but, oh, yeah, they taught us that human nature is called beast nature.
Because,
that's what they called
because beast nature. Because animals are people, too?
Well, I'm not for sure. They just said it was a beast nature is what they called it, because it's a human nature.
Well, doesn't it sound to you like that's a way of promoting animal rights and raising...
Well, you know, I just started learning about animal rights, and I just started learning that I've been watching Animal Planet, and they are actually arresting people and putting them in jail and giving them felonies if they do something wrong with animals, like they end up dying or something.
Yeah.
The way they care for them.
Right.
And I'm like, this is getting pretty out there. You know?
It's,
like,
it's scary. You could, you could get punished more severely for mistreating an animal than for giving birth to a baby and killing the baby after it's born.
I know.
You could
get off a
lot easier for killing your baby than for injuring an animal. And, well,
it's getting very backwards.
Yeah, and you know, animal rights... I bet you $20 to a nickel that that church is supportive of the animal rights movement, and also that they're pro-abortion, they're pro-choice.
Well, they actually don't believe in abortion. They don't like that at all.
Well, will you give us?
I didn't ask their view on animal rights though.
Will you give us the name of the church?
Well, I don't really want to in respect of the church.
Well, it's a church. They wouldn't be ashamed of their views, and plus, you might get $20 out of it.
What do you mean, $20?
Yeah. Yeah, because I would fall off my chair in the studio if I found out they were not pro-choice.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Are you pro-life? Are you against abortion?
I'm against abortion.
Good. And so is there a possibility they discern that and they just misled you to keep you there for a little longer?
I'm not for sure.
Because, you know,
I just
walked
out of the church, didn't say nothing to nobody, got married, and moved to a different city.
Well, I didn't hear. Run that by me again?
Well, the thing was, when I left the church, my husband and I at the time was dating, and we didn't say nothing to no one. We just left the church, got married, and moved to a different city and didn't say nothing to nobody in that church because a lot of them was against us getting married.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah, there were some people that did not want us to get married in that church, so we just left without saying anything.
Now, at Denver Bible Church, we typically encourage people to get married. Typically. But so they must have had, maybe we shouldn't get into it on the air, reasons why they discouraged you guys.
Yeah, there were some people that very much discouraged us.
Yeah, all right.
That's why we just didn't go back there for a while. But what about this New Age thing? We found out that they actually were teaching New Age.
Well, New Age is doesn't have an exact definition. It's sort of a free-flowing idea. And it's self-spirituality, and it could be pantheistic, like God is in everything, that the earth is divine, nature is divine, and they minimize the difference between right and wrong, good and evil. And it's certainly not Christian in the sense that Jesus Christ is the creator God who became a human being and was crucified and 3 days later rose from the dead. New Age churches don't believe that.
Well, they taught that.
All right.
They taught that that was okay. But then also they taught us that God, when we get saved, we become like God. And actually, at times, we can call ourselves God. And that really got to me. It's like, now, wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah, right. So, but that should show you, Louise, that, you know, they might tell you things you want to hear in words that sound familiar and safe to you, but only they're sort of, they might be deceiving you. Like if you have a Jehovah's Witness come to your door, the Jehovah's Witness will mislead you to a certain extent, making you think that their beliefs are pretty traditionally Christian. Or the Mormons are good for doing that also. And it's not until you get further and further into it that you find out how blasphemous their views are. And so if they say that we're all going to be God eventually, that's not the monotheism of the Bible. That's paganism.
And also they said that we would become like God, if I could put this into words. It's hard to put into words what they told us, but it was almost like we would have it was like being Jesus, but it was like you could walk through things, you could have something that's more than just what we are now.
Here in this life?
In this life, we could actually start walking through walls and
Louise,
stuff like that.
Louise,
being superhuman almost, like the way they made it.
Hey, Louise, I'll up it to $50. I'll bet $50 to a nickel that they're pro-aborts, that they're pro-choice. But regardless of that issue, they are lunatics. They're wackos. So how did you get seduced into that congregation? You should have had your antenna up and your warning lights going off, red lights and sirens saying, uh-oh, cult, false teachers, better run.
Yeah, well, it was really incredible because when they first joined with the church that I used to go to, they weren't like that. They didn't teach none of that. They were totally on fire for God. We had a great revival in our church when they arrived.
They were deceiving.
There was great healings taking place.
Louise, they were deceiving you guys.
Oh.
You know, and deceiving people with healings is about the easiest thing in the world. Because everybody wants to be healed and wants to think that God just did a miracle for them. So they might have not known in 40 years that one leg was longer than the other. And then they go into a healing service. They find out one was longer. And then lo and behold, they're healed. And now they're both the same length. You know, miracles like that.
Well, I have heard that people that are into something other than Christianity, healings do take place. I have heard of that.
Well, that's a bit of a different topic. I'm just saying it's real easy to pull the wool over people's eyes.
They were new age when they were in the other church.
one 800 8 NYART, 1-800-836-9278. That's the call-in line. But it's also the line for our materials. If you'd like to study the Bible with us in a really serious way, you have a couple options. You can call up and order the plot manuscript, our overview of the whole Bible. For example, Louise is on the line. She's talking about the miracles these people did. Obviously, they're not Christians. They're pagans. They're charlatans. Frauds, yet they're doing miracles. And so the Bible warns us that we need wisdom and we need to have a solid foundation and be Christians who need not be ashamed because we know we understand the Bible. And so we have a manuscript called The Plot. my unpublished 330-page manuscript, my life's work, the overview of the Bible is the key to its details. So you want to understand the Bible, first get an overview, and then you work down, you work in from there, further in. And it's a lot of fun. And if you like to read, we suggest the manuscript. If you prefer to listen, if you learn better by listening, you could check out our audio tape albums because we have the plot on audio tape. It's not just reading the plot. It's seminars that I've performed all over the country, from Honolulu to Pittsburgh, New Orleans, Indianapolis, Denver, on the plot, the overview of the Bible, and then another seminar called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Really fun topics. And you could check out just one or two of those, or sign up for a subscription and get one audio tape album mailed to you each month. Either give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. You could call into the show or after the show during the week to make an order. If somebody's not manning the phones when you call, please leave your name and number. We'll get back to you. Or go online, and we are online, available 24 hours a day at kgov.com, and you could click on Shop Online and look at all these Bible study albums. And study of them. One of them is called Details Galore, where we look at every single miracle in the whole Bible in one Bible study album. Every miracle and what kind of impact it had on the people who saw it. We're back. Bob and Yart Live, 1-800-8-NYART. So, Louise, these people, they seduced the members of your church.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happened now, because I didn't quite understand what was going on.
Now, let's not worry about them for a moment. Let's just make sure, regarding you, are you a born-again Christian?
Yeah.
So you believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and you trust him for your salvation?
Very much so, yes.
Praise the Lord, Louise. That's great. And here at Bob and Yart Live and those of us at Denver Bible Church, we look forward to getting to know you in heaven. It'll be fun. We'll have a lot of time. But God doesn't force people to love him or to live with him. Think of a man who loved a woman, but she didn't love him. But he loved her so much that he forced her to live with him. And he put her in a house and he boarded up all the doors and the windows because he loved her so much. And she wanted out, but he wouldn't let her out. Now, is that a healthy, loving guy?
Definitely not.
No, that's a sick person. And God is not unhealthy. God is the most healthy.
Definitely,
and the most loving. That's why he put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Remember that tree in the Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Where did he put that? He said, don't partake of that tree. The day that you do, you'll die. In other words, you'll be separated from me. Did he hide that tree somewhere behind a big rock?
No.
He put it in the middle of the garden because that was their door out. If they wanted to leave fellowship with God, all they had to do was go right to the middle of the garden and take of the tree and eat the fruit. And that was their way out. God is not unhealthy, and he's not going to force someone to love him. And so that's why the people who don't love God, who don't want to live with God, will go to hell, because they really don't want God.
Yeah, I think people get to that point, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what it's like. Well, think of Hillary, right?
Yeah.
Hillary Clinton. You think she'd like to hang out with a bunch of right-wing conservative Christians?
I don't think she wanted to be hanging around Christians at all. She's going against us.
Yeah, right. She would just be sick to her stomach.
She would be.
Yeah. And so anyway, that's why there's a hell for people to get what they want. And
I'm sorry, go ahead.
And there are no drugs in hell, by the way. for any, you know, potheads tuning in right now, there are no drugs in hell. So they have to think of what they're going to do if they go to hell. It's going to be miserable. But okay, anything else, Louise?
Yeah, what about this thing with the rapture? See, I was raised in a Southern Baptist church, and I've always been taught about the rapture.
Yeah.
And there's just something about the rapture that, to me, is just something's just not right about it. Something about it, I just can't put my finger on it, but there's just something that the way it's taught, sometimes it just doesn't make, it's like there's something wrong with it somehow, the way it's preached or something. And
well,
I just can't put my finger on it. And then they said that there is no rapture.
Well, these they that you're referring to.
Yeah, the people at the church I used to go to.
The wackos, you mean. I wouldn't think that anything they said has any credibility. So whatever the truth is about the rapture, I'd say it'd be irrelevant what they say about it. And we deal with that subject at length. And, for example, we have a Bible study audio album called The Last Days, and we have a Revelation study on the book of Revelation. But it's not appropriate to get into it on the air on this show, because to talk about the end times, eschatology, you need to spend hours and hours, and we'd lose whatever unbelievers we have.
Yeah, I understand.
And we want to get the unbelievers saved. So if we debate it, whether there's a rapture or not, or if it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath, you know, pan-trib, whatever, pre-millennial, post-millennial, amillennial.
Yeah.
Well, we would lose all the unbelievers, every public school teacher, we'd lose a lot. You know, all six or seven of them.
Yeah.
So that's why we tend to avoid most of the doctrinal debates that Christians have amongst themselves.
Yeah.
But we deal with them at Denver Bible Church. We have, you know, Sunday school, Sunday night. We take those topics on head on. And when visitors come, we let visitors pick the topics of our studies quite often.
Oh.
So you could feel free to do that, and either in Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, it'd be fun to address that topic.
Yeah.
And I would
feel better about telling you about the name of this church off the air, if that's okay.
Sure, that's okay. So, Louise, I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
And then let us know, okay? The call screener will pick it up.
Okay.
Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And give us a call again. God bless you. All right. Louise in Colorado. So, all these terrible news stories, I don't want to do them. Just the headlines were sickening enough, all these crime stories in Denver. And then we've got, oh boy, the Roman Catholics. Look at this. You guys can't. Oh, it's frustrating. You know, they have the pedophilia crime that's rampant in the church among its priests and bishops who cover it up, and the Pope who lets the criminals stay in the church, which is just unspeakably wrong and a total lack of wisdom. It's terrible. But on top of that, here's the story in Colorado today that the Mother Cabrini Shrine up in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, it's in Golden, Colorado, you know where Coors is. Coors beer, we call it queer beer. It's in Golden, Colorado, and we've always urged, you know, they advertise on a lot of in homosexual magazines and TV shows, so that's why we call Coors queer beer. And we thought that it'd be great someday if the Southern Baptists called a boycott on Coors because of their queer beer. That would be really good because, you know, they're boycotting Disney because of gay days and all, and that's coming up. So anyway, the Mother Cabrini Shrine is in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains, and it's a very popular, 150,000 people a year go there or so, and it's a Catholic shrine where this Francis Cabrini, Mother Francis Cabrini, 91 years ago. She was the first American saint back in the 40s. But 91 years ago, she was up there with her cane, tapping her cane on dry land, and a spring bubbled up, supposedly. And not only that, the water is miraculous. So they sell the water there for $2 a bottle of miracle water. It's just, I tell you, the Roman Catholic Church is really, really in bad shape. Pedophile priests and idolatrous nuns. Oh, brother. But at any rate, the Mother Cabrini shrine, the miracle water, was drying up because we had a drought. And so they're spending a lot of money to tap into Golden's water supply, the municipal water supply, so they don't have another water crisis with the next drought. Now, if it's miracle water, can't it just keep coming? I'm not sure I get that. But anyway, the shrine is managed by three nuns who belong to the order of Mother Frances Cabrini. And she came from Italy, and she bought the land up there for an orphanage, and she was canonized. And that water has been the only water this spring for about a century. And they use it for everything up there, for the visitors, for drinking water, cooking, laundry, to water the grass, the lawns. And they sell it for $2 a bottle of miracle water. Now, when they tap into the municipal water supply, I don't know if they're going to bless the whole Golden Reservoir, so it's all miraculous, or just, no, I guess they're going to keep that separate from the miracle water that comes out of the spring. But a few years ago, here in Denver, a lot of Denver Catholics, especially Hispanics, go up to the Mother Cabrini Shrine, and someone saw a vision of Mother Cabrini in the sun while looking at the sun. So I don't know the number, but it was a large number of, I'm trying to be kind here, a large number of persons went up there to get their miracle water and stare into the sun. And when they went blind, the water didn't bring their sight back. How's that? Now, that's pitiful. You go to Mother Cabrini's shrine, you go blind looking for Mother Cabrini in the sun, which you shouldn't look at the sun. And then when you are blind, you think at least the $2 would get your sight back, and it didn't. So, you know, so many people are so messed up in this world. And churches and governments, institutions. Ugh. And here's this Discover magazine mocking Christianity. See, but they wouldn't mock Islam, would they? Now, I would mock Islam because I don't go for this diversity and equality thing where you have to respect all views and religions. Evil religions send people to hell. They send themselves to hell. And wrong ideas destroy people's lives. But supposedly these liberals, they believe in respecting all people and all views and all faiths. Yeah, all except for Christians. All except for conservative Christians who are fair game. It's open season on Christians to mock them. Well, Jesus said that every deed, every whisper will be shouted from the mountain, from the hill housetops. Every whisper, every deed will be exposed. And you know what? I'm looking forward to Judgment Day. This is Bob Benyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences. Right, right.